But right now, like we love doing at this time each and every Saturday, Doug Segrist out of Birmingham, formerly with the Nashville Banner, now a co-host on the TV show The Zone on ABC 3340 every Sunday night. Doug, we thank you as always, and a happy football Saturday to you.
Happy football Saturday. Glad to be here, ballpark.
Hey, this morning, two games as far as the SEC kicking off. We have all 14 teams in action, seven conference games, and there's only one where we talk about cross divisions there with the Alabama-Tennessee game tonight, but we'll get to that in a few minutes. First and foremost, this morning, Auburn on the road taking on Arkansas. Auburn last time out before the bye week, they lost to the Gators. And now today, they're in Fayetteville taking on Arkansas. The Razorbacks 2-4. Arkansas is still searching for their first conference win of the year. They're 0-3 in the SEC.
Yeah, and this should be a mismatch. You know, Gus is like 10, has won 10 straight after a bye week. They're just a much better team. But, you know, they're without Booby Whitlow, which has been their bell cow for the last 2 years. And that's kind of what I chide Gus Malzahn most for, is the fact that there are opportunities to build depth, and they still kind of depend on one guy. So I don't know who's going to carry the load today. I don't know if it's going to be by committee. And even if they have success running the ball, I'm not sure that really proves anything going forward because, you know, this is an Arkansas team that struggled. Now, three of the four losses I know are close. They're getting better, but it's still a bad team. But they need that run game. They need to run downhill, because that will help Bo Nix. Bo Nix is going to be not a good quarterback. Bo Nix is going to be a great quarterback, but he's not there right now in terms of playmaking ability and decision-making. He's holding on the ball. He's inaccurate. So they got to establish that running game quickly.
We look at Auburn under Gus Malzahn, 11-4 as a ranked team as far as in the top 15 when they take on unranked teams. I'm like you. You know, here's Auburn favored by 19 today. And I'm all over this one. I feel like Auburn will win big today as they continue to get ready for a big trip next week to take on LSU and Baton Rouge. And by the way, I think it's one of the reasons why, you know, all the speculation that, you know, the Alabama-LSU game could be moved to a night game just like we saw back in 2011, which needed some negotiations behind the scenes. I think we haven't had any kind of announcements about that, mainly because Auburn has a very good a chance and opportunity to go in and beat LSU next week in Baton Rouge, which then make that night game in Tuscaloosa. It would lose, obviously, a little bit of its luster if we're not talking about one versus two.
Yeah, from programming decision, but I still think Alabama-LSU is going to be a tremendous game regardless. I'm not sure CBS has any bullets in the chamber to make the move at this point. I'm not sure what they can give up at this point. I still think their decision to go prime time with Georgia and Notre Dame was a good decision because it's a very unique game to the SEC. The ratings were great. You know, it was somewhat of a gamble, but, you know, I think you kind of draw in more of a national or a different national audience than you will for what could turn out to be the latest game of the century.
By the way, we sound like experts already. 12:38 to go in the first quarter. Auburn quickly on the scoreboard. A nice drive capped off with a four-yard touchdown run by quarterback Bo Nix. Waiting the extra point, Auburn leading Arkansas 6-0.
Yeah, and so far the top running option is Bo Nix. You know, we got to see which running back emerges. You know, they don't have a lot of confidence in Cam Martin between the tackles, but he can break something. It will be DJ Williams, Sean Shivers. We see Harold Joyner, but they've got to come up with something. But because they're not going to have Booby Whitlow back until later in the season, and this offense is goes from one dimensional to zero dimensional without that running game.
Florida this morning, they take on South Carolina, and so far no score in this one, although South Carolina threatening to score. They're facing a third and goal at the Florida's one-yard line, 11:01 to go in the first there. Here's Florida, certainly a disappointing loss last week in Baton Rouge to LSU, losing 42-28. I mean, the thing is, Kyle Trask in Florida playing well last week. They were up 28-21 in this game. Unfortunately, they could not keep up with LSU's scoring. In fact, they had two drives inside the red zone. One was turned over with an interception in the end zone. The other one was on downs in the shadows of the goal line. But I thought Florida offensively played well. I was a little surprised that LSU had the success that they were able to accumulate against that Florida defense last week.
Well, I still don't think Florida's an elite defense, and I said that, you know, that's what everybody was saying here after they shut down Auburn. I think it's a good, solid defense, but I think they've got some weaknesses in there. I think they've got some weaknesses in the secondary. I think they've got some weaknesses in the middle. They've got a pretty good defensive front, but when you compare it to the athleticism you see at some other places, and you can say some underperforming defenses like LSU or Alabama or Georgia after last week, I don't think they quite match up. Just to me in Florida is that they are an improved offense with Kyle Trask. I think they've got a higher ceiling, and now South Carolina's punched in.
Right.
I just think this is a very intriguing game because South Carolina is coming off the huge, huge emotional win. And common sense would say early start at home, they're not going to have enough in the tank to make it 2 weeks in a row. But you and I have been talking about this all year. South Carolina is much better than their record. I think they can take this game. I think they can take down the Gators.
Mon Denson, a one-yard touchdown run. The kick was good. South Carolina leading Florida 7-0. Couple things, too, about South Carolina. You know, last week with the big win against then third-ranked Georgia, a win today, they'll be able to accomplish something that they've never achieved in the history of their football program. They've never had two straight wins over a top 10 back-to-back weeks. Never has happened. They have the opportunity today with ninth-ranked Florida in town.
And that's a pretty incredible stat, given the history of the program and the fact they've been in two powerhouse leagues. So that's really phenomenal. I didn't know that.
How about this shift, too? Prior to the last 9 years, South Carolina had all types of struggles against the Gators, managing only 4 wins in the previous 30 meetings. But over the last 9 mm-hmm. games, South Carolina actually has a winning record against Florida. South Carolina has won 5 out of the last 9 going into this matchup today.
And where did it start? It started with the old ball coach. And again, you know, we go back and look at those consecutive 11-win seasons. And well, that's Steve Spurrier being Steve Spurrier, but he'll always be a Gator. There ought to be a statue for him for what he did at South Carolina, but it showed the potential there. You know, it's a state with a lot of talent, but they're kind of in the shadows of one of the 3 most elite programs in college football. But there is talent there, and all things are possible in Columbia.
Doug Searish joining us again out of Birmingham with the TV show The Zone on ABC 3340. And for those who have been around these parts for a while, you might remember him back in his days with the Nashville Banner as well. 2:30 this afternoon, the SEC game on CBS, 6-0 LSU, 2-0 in the SEC, on the road in Starkville, taking on Mississippi State, the Bulldogs 3-3 on the year, 1-2 in the SEC. And boy, what a disappointing loss it was last week for Mississippi State. You know, here's a team that back in August we saw as a peripheral top 25 team. You know, top 10? No. Top 15? No. Maybe even top 20? No. But 21st to 25th? Yeah, I could buy into that. And it's a team that had certainly back in September, a very disappointing loss to Kansas State at the time, losing by 7. I can give them the loss at Auburn, maybe not by the margin we were talking about with Auburn blowing them out 56-23. After coming off of a bye week, that's the effort you get with Tennessee winning 20-10. That's the effort you get out of the Bulldogs. If you're a fan of Hell State, you wonder what's going to happen today in Starkville with LSU coming to town. Something tells me it's going to be closer than everybody expects. Everybody just anticipates with no offense from Mississippi State, LSU is going to have a blowout. I actually took Mississippi State and the 18 points today. It's just, you know, it is so tough for any team. And I go back, you have to go all the way back to the mid-90s when Nebraska never was really challenged as far as a team that has national championship hopes and aspirations, a team that week in and week out just delivers, blows everybody out week in and week out, never struggling. And somewhere along the lines, LSU can slip up, and you can see that possibility on the road today at Mississippi State. Not that they would lose, but I don't see a blowout win today by LSU.
Well, it's the perfect setup because, again, you're coming off the emotional victory. You've got Auburn next week. This is obviously a trap game. But I'm like you. I don't think Mississippi State has enough horses. And because of that, I just don't see this being that close. I think this is an LSU team that can kind of pick their score. As good as this offense looks, I don't think there's any way Mississippi State can slow them down. To me, the big test is next week against an Auburn defense that is as good as any in the SEC, if not the country. In terms of just being fundamentally sound, they've got some weaknesses in the secondary, but they can put pressure on the quarterback. They can take the run away. So to me, that's the big test. And even though there's plenty of logic that says, you know, LSU could take a step back day and kind of slug it out, I think they'll be pretty crisp because this is new. You know, this offense has something to prove. They've been waiting, you know, 20 years for a chance to show this explosiveness. And I just don't see them really taking a step back today.
It's interesting with LSU. You know, they lead the nation in scoring. And in fact, that they're 315 points so far in their six games. It's the most in school history. But the ironic part of this, because they only scored 42 in the last two games, it's Alabama and not LSU with a chance to make some history as far as scoring. Alabama tonight with Tennessee, they can tie an SEC record. Oh, they can tie their record of six straight games with 45 or more points. And but with that said, there's, you know, LSU's offense and the job that they're doing, especially with their passing game with Joe Burrow, it's one of the reasons why when you're trying to pick a midseason All-American first team at quarterback, a lot of possibilities out there. Tua Tagovailoa, Jalen Hurts. But Joe Burrow certainly has deserved that honor through these first 6 weeks.
I think you could argue right now that he's your Heisman front runner based on what he's done, the fact they've had two big wins, and he's played exceptionally well in those. You know, obviously, Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa are going to have a lot to say about it, but Alabama hadn't played a marquee team yet. We keep saying that. Well, Duke may be the third best team in the ACC. South Carolina just beat Georgia, but Alabama didn't get a lot of credit for those wins. You know, I think this game tonight, I think it'll be electric atmosphere. What's weird to me is that Vegas only makes LSU an 18-point favorite. Alabama's a 35-point favorite over the team that just beat Mississippi State by 10. So I think that shows what Vegas kind of thinks about this Alabama offense. So I think they can name the score tonight. I think this is a much-improved Tennessee team. But again, I just don't see them having a lot of success, even against this defense that's been questionable at times. Now, if they're methodical, if they're patient, they can drive the ball, they can keep Alabama off the field. But I haven't seen a lot of signs that Tennessee is consistent enough to do that the way South Carolina was.
How about these stats? You know, it's bizarre how this works out because I go back to when Tennessee and Florida was relevant and not back in the 90s and the early last part of the decade last year, you know, you would see matchups where both teams forget about being ranked in the top 25. We often had some top five matchups and certainly a lot of top 10 matchups. How about these stats when you look at the fact with Alabama, Tennessee tonight, the fact that Alabama. This will be the ninth time they're taking the field as a number one team against Tennessee. They've done it, by the way, get this, four straight years, six out of the last eight, seven of the last 12 during this 12-game winning streak against the Volunteers. The ironic part is Tennessee, in the history, and you go back to the poll since 1936, these two teams have played every year except 1943. So tonight, the 83rd meeting, Tennessee has never been a number one team taking on Tennessee, ever.
Wow.
In fact, Tennessee's only been ranked once in that 12-year period of time when they faced Alabama. That was number nine ranking back in 2016. That's it.
Under Bush, yeah. Listen, this is the greatest run in college football history, and it's been a lopsided series. It's been a lopsided series before. But this is the most lopsided we've ever seen it. I think part of it is just Tennessee fell off the cliff. I think they're slowly getting back, and the patience will pay off, but it may be 2-3 years. This is an Alabama program. There's no signs of a slowdown. You know, they may get snake bit. They, you know, Auburn may get them, LSU may get them, Georgia may get them in the SEC championship game if they get there. But I think that's less because of talent and more because of turnover. It just, you know, next year they're going to be just they're going to be incredible on defense. So, you know, you got to get them while you can, and unfortunately, it's just a bad time for Tennessee to get them.
Having a chance once again to visit with Doug Segrist out of Birmingham. You, by the way, this both teams. The interesting part about Alabama's streak, you know, with you know, they're 12-0 over these last 12 meetings dating back to 2007. Right before that, Tennessee enjoyed their best streak in this series from 1995 to 2004. They were 9-1. They were also able to put together a stretch of 9-1-3 with the three ties from 1948 to 1960. But Alabama, besides this 12-0 streak that they're currently under, back from 71 to 81, they were also 11-0. And then from 86 to 94, 8-0-1 in the series as well.
Yeah, it's been a series of streaks. And you know, obviously, part of the reason it's such a big rivalry is how Tennessee dominated early, particularly when Bear Bryant was a player, and then when he was, you know, he first got to Tuscaloosa. You know, this is still a very storied series. Let's see if it hangs on there, because I do think we've talked a lot about the schedule. I think there will be an adjustment in the schedule the next couple of years, and it'll be interesting to see if this series remains an annual rivalry. But I think that's one thing that's made it so electric is that, one, you're talking about two powerhouse programs that can just kind of run away from the other one if they're just average. And you look at the last Tennessee streak, you know, it's not like Alabama was going 3-9 every year. They were just a mediocre program. You know, they were going to good bowl games for the most part, but Tennessee was just absolutely dominant. It was the best run in Tennessee history.
I mean, Tennessee taking on Bama, they've only been in the top five six times ever.
And yeah, that's incredible.
Only
that's
six incredible. Times. Yeah, so it's really interesting. Now let's move forward. Missouri this afternoon against Vanderbilt, 3 o'clock kickoff. Missouri entering this ball game, they're by themselves right now, the top of the SEC East, the only unbeaten team in conference play in the East. Coming into this game, 2-0 as far as in conference play, 5-1. That loss back in week one, 37-31 to Wyoming. It's like a blip on the radar the way Missouri has been playing. 11 straight games of 31 or more points. That's what Missouri's been able to put together going into this game today. They also, in a 26-game stretch, they're 19-7. That's the fourth best record during that span in the SEC, behind only Alabama, LSU, and Georgia. It's also good for ninth best of the Power 5 conference teams. The thing that really stands out for me, I mentioned the kind of points and what Missouri is being able to do. That streak, certainly it started with Drew Locke, continued so far this year with Kelly Bryant, is the fact that they're taking on a Vanderbilt defense. There's only one team in all of the FBS, that's UMass, that gives up more yards per play on defense than Vanderbilt entering this game this afternoon.
Yeah, and I think this is a very good Missouri offense. I think it's explosive. I don't think it's as good or as explosive as they were with Drew Locke, but I think they can hit 50 today. But the biggest difference to me in Missouri, and what goes unnoticed, is that they are so improved defensively against the run, against the pass. Now, they gave up 27 against Ole Miss last week, but this is Ole Miss offense that has quietly really started to hum. That's what makes them, in my mind, a legitimate contender to get to Atlanta. It's because of their balance. And again, nobody outside of Missouri really knows how good this team is. I think Nashville learns it tonight.
By the way, Auburn scored again. Shivers with a touchdown run. So Sean Shivers, Bo Nix, touchdown runs. Auburn up 14-0 over Arkansas, 10:48 in the first quarter. Game being played in Fayetteville, South Carolina, still leading the Florida Gators 7-0. Still in the first quarter there as well. Moving forward, you've got Kentucky taking on Georgia between the hedges today, tonight, 5 o'clock as far as start time, but most of the game will be under the lights there in Athens. Georgia You know, here's the thing. I kind of look back at, 2017 with a Georgia team losing to Auburn during the regular season, still able to bounce back. I have a rematch with Auburn in the SEC title game, win that, and then have a lead in overtime against Alabama in a national championship game before losing on Tua's touchdown pass in that particular game. The question will be, can Georgia, just like 2017, bounce back after certainly a disappointing loss to South Carolina last week?
And the answer is yes. Listen, they're just too good. They got a little problem offensively right now. I think it'll come around because I think today they'll be able to get that running game going again. What's wrong with their offense? Are they too conservative? I think more than anything, they don't have playmakers on the edge. You know, you go from sending 2-3 guys to the NFL to really not have a guy you can trust. I think George Pickens, the kid from Hoover, is going to be superb. But he's not there yet in terms of consistency. I still can't explain away, but last week, but except that we know that South Carolina is much better than its record, and if you have an off day in the SEC, it can be fatal. I think Georgia will win out. The only game I really have questioned the rest of the year is, well, two, Missouri and Auburn. But I think they'll turn around. You know, Kirby Smart is a program builder. He's got everything going. He makes some bad in-game decisions, but you know now everybody's kind of comparing. Look where he was. He's no better than Mark Richt was. Mark Richt was his first 3-4 years. Guess what? Mark Richt was an elite coach. His first 7 years at Georgia were as good as it gets. So that's not a bad comparison.
Kentucky, by the way, they're looking for their first road win over a ranked SEC team. You have to go all the way back to 98 when they knocked off a LSU team that was ranked 21st in the country back then in overtime. So it's a tough order today for Kentucky in this matchup against Georgia. Also, 6:30 start time, Ole Miss tonight playing host to Texas A&M. I still look back when coaches talk about, oh, we're young. We're still young out there. Ole Miss can certainly brag about that and back it up with the stats. Almost 85% of their offense have come from freshmen, which is the most in the country this year. Look, they're exciting players. It makes you think about how bright the future could be for Ole Miss. But Texas A&M, they need a win. 3-3 on the season, 1-2 in conference play. And their schedule has been brutal, knowing that they have taken on the likes of not only Clemson but Alabama when both of those teams were number one, also lost to a top-10 team in Auburn. A&M is certainly looking to get back on track tonight in Oxford against Ole Miss.
Yeah, I think if Texas A&M loses this one, Jimbo, they paid him too much. You can't say he's on the hot seat, but it's going to start getting warm. By contrast, Matt Luke's the guy, you know, everybody always talks about, well, he's always on the hot seat and what's the next option. But this guy just quietly does a really good job of building something and keeping these guys engaged when there's no carrot to dangle, but because of the probation they endure. Now that they're starting to replenish the roster and there aren't questions, you know, unlike before, there aren't questions about how he's replenishing this roster. And he goes out and hires two really legit coordinators, and now you're starting to see it pay off. You know, they only scored 31 against Vanderbilt. That may go down as Vanderbilt's best defensive performance. They scored 31 against Alabama. They scored 27 against Missouri. Should have beat Cal. So now this offense is starting to click, and I think they could pull the upset off tonight.
Doug, as always, we appreciate you joining us every Saturday and also during the week on my show, Monday through Fridays, that can be heard here from 4 to 7 with the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. But Doug, as always, thank you. If you want to keep up with Doug on Twitter, it's simple. Go to Twitter and follow him at DSegress. The TV show is The Zone on ABC 3340 in Birmingham each and every Sunday night. So check them out there. Doug, as always, thank you. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Ballpark. Have a great Saturday.